Hey, how you doing? Thanks for downloading the show. Welcome to Garden Fork Radio. It's me, Eric, talking with my friends about eclectic DIY kind of subjects. Hope you like it. I also have a YouTube channel also called Garden Fork. Technical note, as soon as I turned on the squad casting to record, my neighbor started using a hammer drill on the common wall. So if you start hearing this hammering noise, we're going to try and mute it. And then Nicole's going to talk. So welcome, Nicole.
Hi, how's it going?
You're going to become host as soon as that hammering starts again.
Oh my God.
Your solo show. So I sent an article from the New York Times to Nicole called Tips for Canceling Online Subscriptions. And I have two complainy, whiny stories about my attempts to do this. And there is some light at the end of the tunnel. I don't like the show to be negative, but I had a solution for one dilemma and I'm still working on the other dilemma. Do you have some online subscription dilemmas?
I of course have online. Yes, of course. I mean, the first thing is just knowing what you have, what you're subscribed to. And there's some new app that you can join and it'll tell you everything that you're subscribed to.
Yes.
There are several of them out there.
No, because that goes back to allowing the app access to my checking account.
And I won't do that.
I think that's how it works. I could be completely wrong about that, but I don't see how any other way it could do it. I was a target of identity fraud a couple years now, but it took 6 months of part-time work. It was like a part-time job for 6 months to undo the damage of that. So I'm a lot more careful about what information I give out anymore. Like I don't, people at the, you go to a store and they want, oh, could we have your phone number? I'm like, no.
Right. No, I don't want to give you my phone number. Well, and it's funny the looks you get from people when you say no, because they're not expecting that.
Well, people are lemmings. I'm sorry. That wasn't very nice. I mean,
well, it is an interesting, if you're a person who never says no, you should try it just because it's an interesting experience because they kind of just look at you and then like, I don't say no. I'm just like, I'd prefer not to. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, that's no big deal. It's usually not that big of a deal. I did have to break up with my dentist over that though.
Oh, wow.
Well, I've been going to my dentist for a long time and I came in and they wanted me to fill out all the information again. And I was like, I've literally been coming here for 15 years. Like I'm not filling out your form. And they're like, well, you have to fill out the form. And I was like, actually, I don't have to fill out the form. And so then it escalates. Like they get the office manager, like, could you please fill out the form? And I was like, no, I'm not filling out the form. Like I've been coming here for 15 years. So eventually like the head dentist comes in and he's like, Miss Harkin, you know, you've been coming here for a long time. Why won't you fill out the form? And I was like, just because of that. That is exactly why. And then he says to me, well, some people just write same on it and hand it back to us. You could have done that. And I was like, all right. Well, so I have a new dentist now. We've moved on.
That's amazing.
I know.
I've had at our, at the veterinary practice we go to, which we could talk about this at another show, but veterinary practices are being bought up by holding companies, LLCs. I guess the catchphrase is private equity is buying them up. But we've been asked they print out our address and phone number. And they said, could you just verify that this is correct? Yes. Oh, okay. Thank you. And so, I mean, if they wanted to change it, we could tell them. And they would be standing there at the computer to change it. We weren't asked to fill out a form. That's kind of amazing. Like, hello. Well,
right. You just lost like, and let me tell you, I always have cavities. I have bad teeth. But there is a whole podcast about that.
Oh.
About the, a whole episode.
Bad dentist? Is that the kind?
No. About the veterinary practices being bought up. Michael Lewis. It was a Michael Lewis against the rules because, and he was really frustrated with the poor, like he'd been going to his vet forever. And then like they had a legit emergency. I don't know if maybe he like had gotten the dog had gotten into that algae or something, or there was something where you like they needed to see the vet right away, and they'd been seeing this vet for a very long time.
Yeah.
And they called up and they're like, "How about next Thursday?" And he was like, "This isn't a next Thursday situation. This is like a right now." And previously the vet would have done it. And so he did this deep dive into like what happened to his vet practice. And that is exactly what you said. Well, I'll find that podcast so we can put it in the show notes.
Yeah. Michael Lewis Against the Rules. I also see that happening in, I don't really want to talk about it before it happens, but our furnace broke and I'm looking at different fuel options.
Mm-hmm.
And the mom and pop oil companies and the mom and pop propane companies up where I live, and we have our little house in the woods there, they are being bought by megacorps. It literally used to be the propane guy lived at the end of my road. And if we were running low, I could just leave a message on his machine. And if you wanted to fill your propane barbecue tank, you'd leave it at his garage door with your name on it on tape, you know. And then the next morning it would be back there. And then next time you saw him, you gave him $20. And that's all gone.
It's funny. So that's how our lawn works. I don't say anything to our lawn guy. He just shows up, cuts it. And when I notice the grass has been cut, I Venmo him. And he's like a local guy, like a high school football coach or something. But it is very small town.
Yeah.
Even in the city where I'm just like, oh, look, the grass got cut. Okay, better do that. And sometimes like we've had a little bit of a drought here and I was like, let's not cut it for a while. And I'm definitely more on the like the granola-y side of his clientele because like I think he would spray stuff. I'm like, no spraying. And I'm like, hey, let's put down some more clover. It's like clover isn't grass, Nicole.
That's the buying up of things is interesting. It's kind of funny. I'm wondering, Jimmy Gutz, our executive producer, runs a very successful one-man pool maintenance company.
Oh.
I think he said like – he was last on the show. He talked about it. I think he has 45 clients, and it's a really personal relationship with every one of them because he gets to sit and talk with them, and he loves that. And I wonder if other vertical markets are being bought up by these corporations.
Right. I mean, why? Yeah, if you think that you can do, but it doesn't it remind you of what was that movie, Wall Street from the 80s?
Yeah.
Like, we know this is a bad idea.
I have a couple of friends that work in Wall Street banking, and they basically said, I'm paraphrasing, I could be completely wrong, but people with money are looking to invest in almost anything that has a return or a pulse, basically.
Right? They'll invest in anything.
I mean, what happens like with the vet practice is there's 50 employees. The HR department, I'm presuming, disappears because the HR is centralized.
Right.
The ordering and the inventory disappears because that's centralized. If there were three pharmacists, there's probably one now. You know, so that they cost cut. And that's how they wring some profit out of the business. That's not too negative, is it? That's not too doomy for garden fork.
Well, let's go back to our original topic, which was subscriptions that you have that you don't know about.
Yeah.
So the boys are into climbing. We have a climbing gym here that is pretty, it's nice. And they'll let kids climb, and they'll also let kids use the workout equipment, which usually they don't, like lots of gyms won't. And so Oscar's doing cross country. He wanted to do more running on a treadmill in the winter. So we go there and, you know, the kid gives us the tour and gives us the spiel. And he's like, "And you can join now." And I was like, "What other options do we have?" And he's like, "You really should join." And I said, "Well, you clearly are so young. You haven't had the experience of joining a gym and then never stepping foot inside the gym again, but paying for it for years." And the kid just like looked at me blankly. And I was like, "How about like a 10-trip ticket or something? Is that an option?" And that's what we ended up doing. Because I know myself. Like, I know I literally have done that. And it is bottom line cheaper for me to pay $220 for 10 trips than to join your group, He's like, no, no, for $220, you can come for 6 months. I was like, and I won't. So.
Yeah, I would love that kind of a per visit thing. I have a friend who belonged to a local gym for 4 years and he never went.
Yeah, see, it happens. That's part of their business plan, though. Going back to our previous conversation, that's part of the business plan, right? They know there's some number of people between, 0 and 75% who never come back.
I wonder about that because it's not a Crunch gym. Some chain of gyms opened up literally around the corner from me in Brooklyn here, and it's incredibly inexpensive to sign up. And I'm like, how are they making money on that? But that so that's they're just banking on a lot of people signing up but not showing up.
And not showing up. Yeah.
Huh.
But what are some other, so the other area that I focus, that we, Brent and I try to focus on, are our TV subscriptions. So we don't, obviously don't have cable anymore, but by the time you've got Disney Plus and you've got Max or whatever they're calling it, HBO Max, and you've got, five other subscriptions, if you're not staying on top of that, you're approaching the cost of cable.
Yes. It's very easy to do. I mean, we don't have kids, so I don't know, but we have an Apple TV box and we subscribe to Apple Plus and Netflix, and that's it.
Oh, you guys are hardcore. Well, wait, so you don't have Amazon Prime?
Oh, we have Amazon Prime. There's nothing really on Amazon Prime I like to watch. This is from a guy who keeps plugging his Amazon affiliate link.
Well, the other thing I'm going to tell you though is through our the DCPL, DC Public Library, we have this awesome app that's free of tons of movies called Canopy. And I
Yes.
think it, do you ha are you do you have that on your Apple Plus?
I haven't looked at it, but I know about it through our library.
Yeah, so you can get up to 8 movies a month for free, and they're good movies. Like they have a lot of really good movies. I'm watching in the middle of the Tina Turner documentary
Oh, nice.
on there. And then I just watched one about a woman who found out her father wasn't her father. Her parents were Holocaust survivors, and I guess it turns out her mom had an affair, but she had always had a feeling her whole life about it. And then anyway, that was a good documentary. Anyway, there are a lot of films that you wouldn't that are incredibly well made, but you wouldn't maybe know about.
That's the problem for me is curating all this stuff. Like I look at Prime the on the Apple TV box and I scroll through and it's, I mean it's like kind of Star Warsy stuff or Army stuff and
Well,
secret
that's because
agent stuff and
I
I
think yours isn't, your algorithm's not serving you what you're interested in. But oh, I was about to say something about the scrolling through. Oh yeah, my Amazon wish list, or what did we used to call it, where you would like star things on Netflix that you wanted to watch.
Yes.
Those are like, that's my aspirational personality. Like they're all European films that like would make me smarter. And I never watch any of them. Like we went back through the list a couple months ago, and I mean they've been on there for like 10 years, and we're never gonna watch these. These are like the dumbest list. But what other subscription things did the article bring up?
There is legislation. Well, it's not legislation. The rules being proposed. It's in the public comment area by the Federal Trade Commission. And by the way, the Federal Trade Commission is actually an agency in the federal government that works. They helped me with the identity theft, and it was amazing. They have a whole website section devoted to identity theft, and they step you through. You type in all your information, not your social security number, but which credit cards were compromised? Who do you need to notify? And they print out, you can print out all the letters you have to do, and they help you get addresses. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, that's really helpful.
So the federal, this is from the New York Times article. The FTC is proposing rules that will require companies to make it at least as easy to cancel a subscription as it was to start it. For instance, you can sign up online. You must be able to cancel on the same website in the same number of steps.
Oh, that's really like logical. That makes sense.
The new rules are expected to take effect next spring or summer. And I have been trying to cancel two accounts recently, and I have two little stories to tell. Okay.
Yeah, tell us. I want to hear.
First is Harry's Razors. I heard about Harry's Razors on a bunch of podcasts I listened to, and I don't like shaving in the first place. And I thought, well, maybe the Harry's Razor will work better and I'll be more likely to shave so I don't look so darn scruffy, you know? And I got the razor and I didn't really like it. It just, the way it goes around my jawline, I didn't like it. And this, that sounds, we're talking about men's, what's that called? Men's, I don't know what that's called. But anyway, I didn't ever buy new blades or anything. And then that's like 10 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
And I got an email from them a couple days ago notifying me about their changing their terms of service. And it said, you know, as an account holder on Harry's, and I'm like, I don't have a Harry's account. And it ended up I did, because I went to their site and it was very simple to reset my password. And then I tried to cancel my account and they couldn't do it. So I had to go through their help section, you know, okay, their chat. I emailed. It was an email thing. And I said, I'd like to cancel the account. And they said, oh, no problem. You have to provide us with the invoice of a recent order, the last four digits of the credit card on file, and your mailing address. I had to provide two of those three. And I'm like, okay, the credit card, 10 years old. I have no idea what that is. I have no idea what the order number is of an order I made 8 or 10 years ago. And I can tell you my address. I said, the fact that I have re-energized my account, I've verified all this, I just want to cancel the thing. And right, they said they couldn't do it. So I'm like, I'll talk about this on my podcast.
Well, that's ridiculous. Well, so I think Consumer Reports, now I sound like Rick, Consumer Reports has some kind of app that's, well, maybe it's even called Unroll Me. Find it. And it does, it's a, the theory of it is that it's supposed to just do that. It like is by a nonprofit and they send all the proper, you tell them where you want to enroll from and they send the letters to the places and enroll you.
Well, that's the interesting part that's next is I wanted to close my account on eBay. And full disclosure, I love eBay. I've been, it ended up when I had to call customer service, the first thing the person said was, thank you for being a member for 21 years or 19 years. I love it. You can sell like electronic gear you don't need or a camera you don't use anymore, and it goes to someone that's going to use it. It keeps stuff out of the landfill. I helped my father-in-law sell his train collection, which is a whole nother story. But recently they had sent me a bunch of emails to upgrade to a business account. And I'm like, well, I'm not an eBay business. What I realized is my PayPal account that I use on eBay is connected to my business account for Garden Fork. And I'm like, oh, they think Garden Fork is this. So I went in and they make it, you can cancel your account from the website. It says cancel account. But it said, I'm paraphrasing. I could be wrong about part of this, but we can't do that. You need to contact us. So I did it was email or chat with them. And the reason I wanted to cancel the account was because to have a business account, it's a monthly charge and they want my check account routing information. And I'm like, hello, I'm not giving you that. So I said that in the chat, or the, I can't remember if it was chat or email. I said, I won't give you this checking account information. I don't want a business account. Can you just cancel this thing? And they're like, well, you have a $20 credit with us and we need to get you that $20. I was like, why don't you just mail that to me, you know?
There's a system for this.
You have to provide your check routing information, then we'll refund your money, then we'll cancel your account. And at that point, I just got my laptop open and I wrote a letter saying, dear eBay, here's why I don't want an account, credit fraud. Right. I won't give you my routing numbers. I said, take the $20 in my account and give it to charity. And I signed my name and I put it in an envelope and I hand wrote eBay, and I think they're in San Diego or something. And I mailed it and they stopped emailing me.
Oh, they did.
So instead of going through their loop of, these online chats and things, I just wrote a letter, a personal letter. And I just wrote, I think I said eBay customer service, and on their website, they do have a mailing address. So I'm going to do that with Harry's Razors as well. And just like, look, why are you making it so much more difficult to do this? because I have a little theory about this. So I'm on a Aragona rant here.
Here we go.
I was a licensed contractor in New York City for quite a while, and I learned that if you do a good job for someone, they might tell one or two people, but if you do a bad job, they'll tell 10 people. And I think the same thing applies in the online world, because I'm complaining about Harry's instead of saying, oh yeah, I tried at Razor and it didn't really work for me. I'm complaining about their bad customer service, you know? So they could be losing customers by making it difficult for people to cancel their accounts.
Huh.
That was a mouthful.
That was a mouthful. But okay, so I also wanted to ask, one approach is to do nothing. So like Google's been harassing me to update my telephone number because I have a business. They want, you have to have a landline. I don't have a landline. I don't want anybody calling me on a landline. So they keep saying, you've got to update your thing. And then they're like, oh, we're going to delete your thing. Great. Then delete my site. Like, you're not understanding the situation. I don't want this. So Google is just giving me a hard time. And I was just like, done. No, I'm not. So I haven't responded. I haven't told them to delete my account. I haven't told them to do anything. And it appears as though my Google site, you can still find me on Google. So doing nothing apparently is an option sometimes too.
Yeah, I try to clear my inbox, and there's just, after the identity theft thing, I'm just trying to not have a lot of stuff out there. It's futile, okay?
we're all Sisyphusian. Rolling that boulder up the hill.
Hey, real quick, one easy way to support Garden Fork is if you're going to shop online and use Amazon, please use the link to our storefront. The link is in the show notes here. If you click on that, it'll open it up in your web browser. If you're on a laptop or desktop, it will open it up into your app, ideally, if you're using the Amazon mobile app. Please shop locally. I go to my local hardware store first. If I can't find it there, then I go to the orange or blue store. If I can't find it there, then I order it online. So if you are shopping online, use our Amazon link, amazon.com/shop/gardenfork. The link is also in the show notes. Thank you.
Have you ever declared inbox bankruptcy?
What's, is that just deleting everything?
Well, yeah, you set an auto reply that says, I've declared inbox bankruptcy. If you've emailed me in the past, you will not receive a response. And so if you want me to respond, you need to email me again. And yeah, you just delete everything in your inbox. You're like, it's like a new start. It's like a fresh start.
Oh, wow. I get so much junk, so many pitches from companies that want me to, they'll send me, like the new thing now are these giant battery power supplies for when you're camping or something.
Oh.
The narrowboat people I follow have been featuring them as a review. And actually, Gabe at the Save It for Parts channel got one and he did a review. And they basically want, it's kind of a cheap way to get advertising. But I'm like, I get that every day. And I'm just like, maybe 1 in 10 is actually a legitimate email from somebody.
If you open up, legitimate email, the one thing I do really like on my iPhone is a lot of the things will have an unsubscribe at the very top, which I really appreciate because it's Apple unsubscribing you, you're not like having to click on the thing at the very bottom and go to their website and put your email again, no, you just click this unsubscribe and you don't seem to get any more from them.
Yeah, I have that. That is on the Garden Fork email, which I'm actually got to work on here today. But when I send it out, I actually send it myself as well. And at the top of my iPhone, that when you open up that email, it's right at the top. It says, would you like to unsubscribe from that? I have to offer all that to comply with what's called the CAN Spam Act. It should be one click unsubscribe. And a lot of sites don't do that. Some of them make you type in your email address again. And I'm like, you're wanting people to give up.
Yeah, you're creating friction, right?
Yeah. I don't want friction. I've gotten some angry emails from people about the email list, and they're like, I never signed up for this. And I'm like, there's no way I know your email address and signed you up for this. You know, people might have forgotten about it,
Right, a long time ago or whatever.
Yeah, oops.
Well, and I have a little email list for my photography business,
Oh, great.
and I probably should be clearer with people that like you're signing up for my email, but I don't send it right. I just send them remind like, hey, I'm doing mini sessions, and it's generally in the fall. And again, you can clearly easily unsubscribe.
Interesting that in the FTC guidelines, when you're putting in your address to have something shipped, like I just bought mushroom spore from northspore.com. Really great site. Great people, great videos. I hope my video is just as good. But when you type in your email address and all that, there's a click box that is unchecked and it says, would you like to receive email offers and news from us? And so they're doing an opt-in, but a lot of sites, the checkbox is checked and you have to physically uncheck it.
Uncheck it.
And that will change with these new regulations.
Well, so there was this book that came out probably 15 years ago called Nudge. I think it was by, well, anyway, whoever, anybody who's read it will know that it's a famous author. But the idea behind it was that we need to nudge people to make better decisions. And one of the best examples is automatically opting people into retirement accounts when they start a new job. Rather than, and then if you don't want to put money into retirement, you have to opt out yourself.
Oh, that would be good. They do that with voting in some states when you get a driver's
Right.
license.
You're automatically registered to vote. But obviously you can use this for bad things too, like keeping people on email lists.
FTC is also proposing an annual reminder for anything other than subscriptions involving the delivery of physical goods. So I have an annual subscription to Netflix, and actually they do send you like 30 days ahead. We're going to renew your subscription on this day and it's going to be this much. I have a subscription to the Adobe software suite, and 30 days ahead they send me a thing and I can opt out. A lot of people, companies do adhere to that, but a lot of them, they're just hoping you won't. So
Now, Adobe, if you say you don't want to keep it, then they'll send you a deal.
yes, that is in this article, actually. A gentleman was trying to get off of an app, like a texting app, no, a radio aggregator app. And he got on the phone with them and they offered him a cheaper deal. So interesting.
But again, it's like it's cost shifting, right?
Yeah.
So we
I
have to do
haven't.
the legwork to get off of it or to get a better deal on the internet or whatever it is.
I have another, not gripe, a complaint, but they address it here as well. Is there are some, I've seen this on some learning sites. Other YouTubers will talk about a certain site that has how-to videos that you learn how to speak French or whatever. And there's a 10-day free trial, and then you can decide whether you want to go with a monthly plan. And I was like, oh, I really like that because this one YouTuber had some classes about being a better YouTuber. And I'm like, wow, I'd like to learn from them. But the 10-day trial to sign up for it, you have to give them your credit card number.
Oh, then I'm like, no.
And then it's up to you to remember at the end of the trial to cancel it. And I think that's really wrong.
Again, Apple makes it pretty easy with their subscriptions with the apps. I do appreciate that. And they
Yeah.
do give you a reminder. You know who the worst offenders are in this area are the home security people. My mother-in-law had before she left Montana, she had, was living by herself and had Vivint, I think was the name of it. Anyway, they were her, home security. And she had signed a contract for a year, and then she decided to sell her house. I mean, she'd had them for like 5 years, let's say. She'd had them
Yep.
for a long time, and then decided to sell her house, sold her house. And so we wrote a letter to them, or asked them to cancel her thing. And they said that the contract was conveyable, and she needed to sell it to the new owners.
Yes.
And we were like, and no, we'll be calling the Montana State Attorney General. Like, you're going to cancel this contract. This is ridiculous. And after we brought up calling the Attorney General, they were able to cancel the contract very quickly.
Yes, your state attorney general's office hopefully is responsive to consumer complaints. Where I live, they're very good about it. And as soon as you bring that up, usually with a customer service person, some actions start to happen.
Right. They like special words.
The red light goes up in their cubicle, you know. And
right. Like, we're not dealing with somebody who's like going to just be able to be strung along.
Oh, no. Darn. That's not nice, you know.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, this is all stuff that people maybe don't know about. And so I think it's good. Like, I don't think it's complaining. I think it's like real life. And we're all trying to like figure our way through things.
In the article here, they suggest every quarter going through your bank statements and credit card statements and that to see where there might be some kind of like phantom subscriptions. And I actually find it every year at tax time, because for the business part, I have to go through everything and make sure that it's in the right categories for, you know,
right,
office expense or whatever. I don't have gas anymore, which is kind of funny.
Well, so. Brent keeps a running Google Doc. So
yes,
whenever we subscribe to something, he tries to like make sure we put it on the list.
And kind of, sorry, go ahead.
Sometimes I'll just decide to like cancel something that we have. Like, we're done with Netflix. We're not Netflix people anymore. At least not for this month. Because you can re-sign. And now they make it very easy to re-sign up. So, you know, we'll do Disney Plus for a couple months. But if there's no good shows coming out, we'll just cancel it until like the next Marvel show or whatever, you know.
That's funny. Quicken. It's either Quicken or QuickBooks. In other words, the consumer level bookkeeping software they offer. You do have to tie your checking account into them. And I have a high level of trust with them. My friends use it too. But they use some, you know, algorithms or AI to flag transactions. And they're like, did you sign up for this? Should this go into business expenses or should this go into food? So it kind of has some smart logic when they scan your account every month. And I kinda, that's something as well that I never turned it on, but I imagine they might have kind of a subscription alert thing, you know?
Right. Well, we have, we get our toilet paper by mail. I guess we started it before the pandemic, but it's this great little company called Who Gives a Crap. And they mail you your toilet paper, and their toilet paper is bamboo. So it's more sustainable.
Yeah.
But they also send a nice email. They usually do it like you said, a month in advance, like, hey, you're getting more toilet paper. Like, do you need it now? And they make it super easy to like skip a month, skip 2 months, skip 4 months. A great company. And like, they're doing great with a subscription model.
Yeah. See, when it works, we talk about it, you know?
Right. Yeah. Now, do you have any, Amazon subscribe and save?
No, I don't do that.
I had the anxiety about doing it because of just this, right? Like, I didn't need whatever I was, you know, I always want to get the discount, but then I'm like, oh God, what if I just end up with like cases of detergent?
Yeah, detergent. Yeah.
That like I didn't mean to order. So they do send a reminder beforehand. So I do have a couple things on there, and I always say like, only send it to me every 6 months. Like, I don't want it. But you have to be paying attention to your email, you know. And to your point, if I have friends who have like 31,000 unread emails, I'm like, how could you live like that? I can't handle that red dot. I can't. I even turned it off on my phone, so I don't even see the red dot anymore.
Yeah, we buy our food from a local pet store, and on purpose. I mean, I gotta go over there, but it's fine with me.
It's nice to see people. So there was just an article I saw about like what has been lost by getting rid of our errands.
Yes. Yeah. Where was I yesterday? The hardware store, which is around the corner for me. You know, I still don't know the guys' names, but they know who I am. And they know I know my way around their hardware store now, so they don't follow me around, you know.
That's awesome. Well, I walk into the library, our library branch, and the ladies know me. And, you know, during the pandemic, they were like, the library, your library, give your library love, because they are really doing a lot of hard work. They're helping the unhoused, they're helping the mentally ill, they're lending out books. They're dealing with printing. They're dealing with teenagers.
They're also having, unfortunately, deal with politics now as well. There are these movements to ban books. And I could be wrong about this, but I have some friends in the library world. There are groups from outside your area.
Yep.
Putting the wheels in motion to ban books in your town.
Yeah, The Daily had a podcast about those people. The New York Times Daily email. So I try to bring some donuts and coffee over there, you know, at least once a year. Just, you know, I don't even know which ladies will be in that day. I mean, There is a guy too, I should say. I don't know where I was going with that, but I was going somewhere. Going places and people knowing you. And so, like, the ladies know me and we chat and catch up. And it's these weird, like, acquaintance relationships.
Yeah. Like, there's a lady on the corner that sells tamales in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I don't know her name. But, and she doesn't speak English. I don't speak Spanish. But we wave hello every day, you know?
Right. Right. Exactly.
They work hard, too, because they come by. They walk up my block in the afternoon, and they have two different kinds of masa, because that's, you need the two different kinds to make things. And so they go back and cook at night, and in the morning they're up. They're at the corner about 6 a.m. Selling to people that are, you know, on their way to work. So
have you tried them?
I have. I just, it's not something I can eat. It's just
heavy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I try and stay a little lighter these days, or else I just want to take a nap.
Yeah, Trader Joe's used to have mini tamales, and my kids loved them. But then they stopped. I love Trader Joe's, though.
We could have a whole show about that. Actually, let's talk about Trader Joe's in the after show.
All right, let's do it. This is great.
Okay, I hope that wasn't too much of a doomy show there. I'm sure Harry's does good things for people. I just found some frustration there. And I do really like eBay, and I continue to buy things on eBay. As a customer, you can use your PayPal account, but I think if you want to be a business there, you got to be more kind of baked into their system there. And that's mm-hmm. fine. It's just I didn't want to do that. So
wait, my question to you, Eric, is are you never going to use eBay again, or are you just going to set up a new account?
Oh, I've actually been buying stuff from eBay, but you can, if you, I'm pretty sure I've just bought as a guest.
Oh, okay.
It bums me out because I've sold over 100 things there, and I had a 5-star rating, you know, and so right. I was very proud of that, you know, and I lost all that. So, oh well. Time to start new. You can get great, if you are looking for something online, consider Amazon. It's they sell, I think what some people on Amazon, I'm sorry, if you're looking for something on Amazon, maybe you want to look on eBay. This is from Eric, the Amazon affiliate, because I think there are people that buy pallets of returns from Amazon and they sell them on eBay.
Oh, totally. And well, you can really get, you really have to shop around, because I have noticed that sometimes the Amazon prices are just like ridiculous. Oh, there is that great website that will tell you.
Yeah. We're such a great, well, we're a well-researched podcast. But what I needed a new power supply for the battery on my portable generator.
Yes.
And from the manufacturer, it was quite expensive. And from eBay, I got it for like $7.
Oh.
So.
Well, okay, Camel. That's the website that you can put in what you're looking for, and it will tell you when you have the best Amazon price.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Arter one.
Okay, guys.
Share us radio@gardenfork.tv. Nicole and I are going to stick around for the after show, which is for patrons. If you're interested in being a patron, I think people like it. I post goofy pictures and stuff and interesting articles and more of Eric and the after show, which was about 15 minutes of us talking about Trader Joe's probably this time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, what more would you want?
All right, radio@gardenfork.tv. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Go out and make a great day. See ya.
Bye.
Garden Fork Radio is produced by Garden Fork Media LLC in Brooklyn, New York. Our executive producer is Jimmy Goose. For more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes, visit hollowbooks.com. The music in the show is licensed from audioblocks.com and uniquetracks.com.